Welcome to the Carib Youth Association, or should I be saying welcome to ESAM, Equipper School of Ministry, and this teaching series on soul ties. Just in terms of opening, there's a few things I just want to say by way of opening. It is a three-week teaching session on soul ties. Today being the 2nd of April is the first one, and there'll be another one on the 16th of April, and then another one at the 30th of April. So April's really going to be soul tied out, in Jesus' name. It is a vast area. You could talk about so many aspects of soul ties. This ministry is only interested in talking about what God is saying to you at any particular time. So you will hear what we believe God is saying to you about soul ties at this particular time. It might be what you want to hear, it might not be what you want to hear, but it's what God I believe God would have you to hear. So open up your spirit to what God is saying in this kind of area, in this kind of topic over these next 3 weeks. So it'll be every other Wednesday starting from today. I would also say it is a sensitive subject, so I'm going to be candid about some topic areas. So say I'm not offended.
I'm not offended.
I'm not offended.
I'm not offended.
Say it again, I am not offended.
I'm not offended.
It's really important to not be offended. I tell you what offence does. If you're offended in 1963, yeah? Your offence could potentially stop you from moving into 1964. The years and the time goes by, but you're still in 1963. So the things that you should be accomplishing in 1964, they ain't happened. Because you're still in 1963, in your heart and your mind and in some areas in your emotions. So we have to keep up with what God is doing. So offence is one of the massive tools of the enemy to keep you back. Yeah, to keep you back. And that's one of the things we want to avoid in this season, to not be offended, to allow God to do what it is that he wants us to do. I'm going to say, though, that I'm also conscious that there are children in the other room, and I prefer them to be in the other room just because of the subject matter. So, lovely Jemani, I'm going to ask you to take your lovely iPad and go and join the other children, if that's all right, yeah? And we'll look after you in there and make sure it's nice and cozy.
So, it's a bit warm in there for your ears.
You don't mind just pulling the door to you. And then I leave it to the parents to impart knowledge around soul ties as they grow. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I think as well, part of what I'll be doing as well over this period is to share some of my personal stories. So please don't go and tweet them when I tell you what where we're coming from. You're going to tweet it and put it on your Facebook page and Lillian said, because that's not what this is about. But the other thing that's also important as well is to know that it's important that there is no condemnation. We all have a past. One thing I'll say about your past is that it's past. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Do you know your past is past?
Amen.
And you know, 3 o'clock this afternoon is past.
Amen.
It's the past and it's not going to come back again. Yeah. It will be 3 o'clock, not the same day,
yeah.
Not the same circumstance. It will be a different day. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of being a Christian is that God keeps things in the past that should be kept in the past. It's us who need to catch up with him and move into his future. Paul said it like this, and I used to struggle with this scripture. He said, forgetting the things which are behind me and moving toward the things which are before me. And he said this, I press toward the mark. So there is an effort that is required in your Christianity. There is a pushing that you need to do. So your Christianity is participatory. God's not going to just say, okay, he will call you, but if you don't come toward him, then he can call all he likes. Just like you call your child, you can call all you like. The child doesn't come. There's not a participation, yeah? And that's what we need to do in our Christianity, is to participate in what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in Jesus' name. So as I say again, Romans 1 verse 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh. Yeah, let it all hang out. Ooh. You're not doing that. So if you're not doing that, no condemnation, yeah? You're not. There's no condemnation. Even if you did do that, and you repent and turn away from it, there's still no condemnation. So one of the things I've learned, it took me the best part of 5 to 7 years, maybe longer, 10 years of my life wasted on condemning myself. I don't know why,
was condemning myself. Mm. I had such a sense of negativity about myself for so many years as a teenager. Some of it's also hormonal. But you can go for a season where you're just condemning yourself.
That's not God's plan. And if you don't believe me, read Romans 1 verse 8 and meditate until it gets into your spirit. Yeah? Romans 1 verse 8 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk after the flesh, but they walk after the spirit." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So what I will say is that by the end of these 3-week teachings, you're not just going to know something, but you're going to receive something, yeah? Because you can know stuff, but until you receive it and it becomes a part of you, it's just head knowledge, yeah? So my prayer and my belief is that you're not just going to know things, but you're going to receive things. There's a spirit of impartation, and that's really important, that there's a spirit of impartation. But what I want you to say to me is, to say tonight, you make this declaration, Lord, I am open.
Lord, I am open.
Lord, I am open.
Lord, I am open.
Just hold your hands up and say, Lord, I am open.
Lord, I am open.
Amen. And again, Lord, I am open.
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 Amen. And God looks at your heart. Amen. Amen. So what I'm going to be doing this evening and over to certainly tonight is really just laying a foundation. And I'm going to be kind of peppering the session with different testimonies and examples, so it really brings the word to life and you can then apply it and it becomes more applicable to your life. In week 3, probably around there, I will be being more interactive and allowing more questions and answers. So bring your questions on that week, if you can sort of reserve them for that time. But I think it's important for me to kind of lay a foundation so we know where we stand on this issue of soul ties, making the case for soul ties and where it fits in the word. Is it in the word? All of these things we need to know before we ask questions. So let's get the foundation laid, and then there will be opportunities, possibly week 2, but I think definitely week 3, to ask some questions and answers and to look at how to be free from negative soul ties as well. And what God laid in my heart tonight really is just to give you an overview, a brief overview first of all, of the different types and kinds of soul ties. And then also I'll be looking at how are they formed, how are soul ties formed, how are these connections formed. And then something unusual, but what God showed me was that I should use marriage, the ideal of marriage, or an example of marriage, to pull out what I call 5 key elements of what God intended good soul ties to look like and to achieve. Bring her in if she wants to come in. Bring her in, bring her in, bring her in, bring her in, bring her in. So we're going to be using marriage to pull out 5 key elements of what God intended good soul ties to look like and to achieve. So you're going to understand the purpose of marriage. We're not just going to get married. Some of us are married already. Sorry, too late. But it's a good time to be here if you're not married, and it's a good time to be here if you are married, because we're all learning. Yeah? And sometimes with some things you learn as you go along. And other times you learn by your mistakes. I don't like learning by my mistakes, but I make them. So I can either do 2 things. I can condemn myself, I don't do Romans 1 verse 8, I condemn myself and I live in the past, or I learn from it and I don't do it again by God's grace, yeah? And even if I do it again, there's still an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. So win, win, win.
Yes?
Yes? Amen. Win, win, win. Amen. I know I'm not talking about my husband. Amen. I might allude as well to, you know, other negative and ungodly soul ties, but I think tonight really is just to give you that marital overview and the godly example with 5 key elements of what God intended. In other words, I'm going to kind of hold up an ideal. You know, you go target practice, you want to hit the middle, but even if you hit all the other bits around the edge, don't worry about it. It's practice that's going to get you to the goal. And then next week, as I say, I'll cover more, not next week, but the week after, on the 16th, I'll cover ungodly soul ties and then look at other things in week 3. So what I'm saying today is going to be an important foundation for the following weeks as well. So what we learn about today, I may refer back to it. So it's a good basis on which to build where we're going with this teaching session. Is that okay?
Yes.
Amen. So what is a soul tie? A soul tie is basically being bound or joined to another person or thing, whether positively or negatively, yeah? So a soul tie is being bound or joined to another person or thing, whether positively or negatively. And there are a number of biblical bases for speaking about soul ties. The Bible, as far as I can see, doesn't have the word soul ties written in it as soul ties is spelt. But there are many, many examples around soul ties, around joinings, but it uses different words. So it might not call it soul ties, but it does talk about joinings on that level. So one example of scripture you might want to read a bit later, I'll turn to it now, is 1 Corinthians. I'm giving you a biblical basis for talking about soul ties. So 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17 says this. In fact, I'm going to read from 15 because there's three types of joinings, or two or three types of joinings that Paul talks about to the Corinthians. Yeah? And it says this, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit." Amen? So, there's three different types of joinings here. So, as I said, the Bible doesn't say soul tie as such. But the scripture is clear here that you can be joined to another person in spirit. Because it said, didn't it, in verse 17, the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit. Yeah? So you can be joined in spirit. We're joined to the Lord in spirit. And we're also joined to one another in spirit because we're all following the same God. And therefore, we're joined in spirit. I can't see a cord between me and you like you had an umbilical cord between you and your baby. But there is a cord and a connection. That means that I have some feelings for you. I have concerns for you. I have a heart for you. Yeah? On a spiritual level. Yeah? The other level or joining is in the body and in the flesh. And you can see that with this. For example, there was a lot of fornication in this church and Paul was really going for it with this church. But it was kind of fornication where someone was sleeping with their mother-in-law and all kind of things, you know. So it got a bit crazy out there, yeah. So he was talking about being joined in physical body, yeah. So that's a sexual relationship, I'm not saying too loud, but a sexual relationship outside of God's joining. But also as well, we have friends, I hope. Everybody here has got friends. You can be joined to your friends on a soulical level, yeah? You join them in your mind, your will, and your emotions. You have feelings for them, you love them, you care for them, hopefully, you know? But on a friendship level, good examples of that is David and Jonathan. The Bible speaks often about David and Jonathan being really, really good buddies. You also have Ruth and Naomi, really good buddies again. Entreat me not to leave you. Your people are going to be my goodness me, give me some space. But entreat me not to leave you. There was a connection, and there's no way that Ruth was going to let Naomi go. It's not going to happen. So that was a strong connectivity there, and those are the types of joinings which show you that soul ties are very much live and well in the scripture. Let me just define some of the words that we're going to be using over the next 3 weeks. To join means to connect, to unite, to fix, to affix, to fasten, to knit, to fuse, to weld, to bind, to tie, to secure, to yoke, to merge, and I like these last two, to splice and blend. Wicked. Splice and blend. Splice and blend. You know, it's joining, bringing the thing together. Fasten it, knit it, fuse it, weld it, bind it, tie it, secure it. So you can't break it apart. Yeah? There's a connection. Another word that the scripture also uses about members. We are members we're members of the body of Christ, yeah? We're members of Christ, members joined one to another. So that's also important. And members means someone or something that belongs to or is part of a group, organization, society, or community. So that's also another word. There is another meaning as well. There's also cleave. You know, man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. That's an interesting one. You know, cleave's got two diametrically opposite meanings. On the one hand, it means stick to something like glue. But on the other hand, it means to chop down the middle and separate the thing two different ways. And as we go through, it will make more sense why it's got such a dichotomy of meanings and why the Bible uses the word cleave. But basically, the point is, soul ties are in the Bible. It is biblical. It's not just something that some preacher made up. It is something that we do need to be concerned with, because if I'm connected to you and you're in trouble, it affects me. And if you do something wrong and you're connected with me, I'm going to feel that as well. Do you understand what I mean? I might not have done it, but by association, I have that connection, and it hurts me, it concerns me, it worries me. So we jointly feel in that person's pain. I was talking to Winston about a legal term, and one of the legal things is that, for example, if someone commits a crime, and even if you didn't do anything, the fact that you stand up there and they look means that the police could probably take you in as well, just by association. So it's the law of association. So that shows you the power of being connected to people, good or bad. Yeah? Okay. What I want to look at now is, how are soul ties formed? Let her come, she needs to come. How are soul ties formed? We sort of touched that, but I think it's good to unpack it and make it clear. So soul ties are formed when two or more persons become joined or bonded together. That's the basic, yeah? And there's three ways they can be formed. And I'm going to use some long words now, so I'm not really intelligent. So they can be formed in three ways. They can be formed volitionally, and I'll explain what that means in a minute, positionally, or violationally. So there's three ways in which a soul tie can be formed. When we talk about soul ties being formed volitionally, this is about an act of your willing or your choosing, yeah? This is where it's a voluntary decision. It's done by an act of your will, or it's intentional, something you choose, yeah? So you can choose to be tied to people, not a bad thing. Soul ties are not always evil. As soon as you hear the word soul tie, people think, ooh, who are you tied to? And we go soul tie crazy, you know? That's fine. We don't need to be, yeah? So some soul ties, we volunteer to be in them. Then there's the other one. The second one is positionally soul ties can be formed. And positionally means it's a place occupied, or a place where someone or something is located or put. Yeah? So with this one, I'll say it again. It's a place occupied, or a place where someone or something is located or put. Yeah? So the difference between this one and volitionally is this. With a positional soul tie, in one sense, you don't have a choice. For example, Thelma is my sister. I didn't write to God and say, "Dear God, I would like a sister, an older sister called da 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 da." I had no decision making, I had no authority, I had no choice, as it were, in that. It's a positional soul tie. We've both got the same mother, and we've both got the same father. So I'm in a position where she's my sister, I'm her sister, I've got a brother. You know, and it is what it is. It's a positional thing, you don't choose it. Similarly, in the church, did you choose your brothers and sisters?
No.
In the church? Did you choose who's the latest member in the church? We can't choose who God joins to the body. But we have to work with them. We can choose how we're going to behave with them. We can choose how we interface with them. But we don't choose who God joins to his body. Yeah? So that's important. So positionally, soul ties are formed and can be formed. And the last one is soul ties can be formed violationally. And this is the one that's a bit scary. Violationally means a breach. It's an infringement. It means to debase or degrade or to overstep, to break or act against something or someone's will. The formal meaning of violation is to rape. So it's to force yourself onto someone who does not want you to force yourself onto them, and to violate them. So you take from them, you connect yourself to somebody who never chose to. It was not volitional, and it certainly wasn't positional. It was violation. So there was a power from one party to the other to dominate and to do with them what they ought not to have done. Yeah? And that's the scary formation, I would say, of a soul tie. So just looking across scripture and giving you examples of how all these three ways of formation fit into some of the examples of soul ties or context, I'm just going to give you three. So in marriage should be volitional, should be that you choose to be married, but there can also be arranged marriages. Some cultures have arranged marriages where you will marry such and such, and you know, the families bring you together, and sometimes you have a choice, but sometimes you don't. Yeah, but generally speaking, in the West, marriage should be volitional. You should choose or volunteer to be married. But there's also forced marriage, which is becoming a big issue in the news. And this is where, you know, somebody's told that they have to marry such and such and such a person. You know, I would also say in the church, there are the God-said marriages. Be a little bit wary of those, because if God hasn't said to both parties, then you're going to have problems. As I said, there may be trouble ahead. You know, because God can say to one, or one can say that God said, but the other thinking, God didn't say anything to me.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, your choice and your will is important in that. Yes? I'll give it a practical example. God said to me and to Winston, he said to Winston first, Lillian is your wife. This is the true story. God said to Winston, Lillian is your wife. I wasn't anywhere to be found at the time. This was in 1993, in January, I believe, God spoke to him and told him that I'm his wife. All this time I'm in an hour, yeah? And then in August of the same year, God spoke to me and said, Winston is your husband. Completely different zones, yeah?
Yeah.
And then in October, let's look at the length of time. See how he's been down? From January to October, Winston knew that God said, I'm his wife. That's
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
And then he came to me eventually, to cut a long story short, we both had a conversation and we were like, oh my God, God said to you in January, God said to you in August, and now it's October, and my dad's in the other room. My dad's the strictest man in the world, wasn't he, Farmer?
Oh,
he's the strictest man, lovely man, the strictest man in the world. So God really otherwise, yeah, God really would have to say. So nonetheless, the long and short of it was that God said, but something troubled me about that. I thought, well, what if I don't want to do this marriage with something that God said? You understand me? God can't force me.
Yeah.
And would God force me? And also, we have to be careful when people say, God said, God said, God said, because sometimes you can use it as a weapon. And when things go wrong, I only married you because
God said.
So for me, it wasn't enough. It was important, especially as there was agreement. Well, there was agreement that God said. Whether there was agreement that we want to be together is another thing. But what was interesting is this. When we went out for a meal, because there's a lot of stuff going on, and you need headspace, you need to eat, don't you? To get your head around it. But we went out for a meal. The thing for me that is the most important is that I needed to know that Winston wanted to marry me.
Yeah.
Do you understand me?
Yeah.
I know how important it was for him, but for me, I want to know that you want to marry me. Maybe for a woman it's more important that you don't want just someone just to be putting up with you just because God said, thus saith the Lord. Because in all reality, when you start a life of a soul type, volitionally, you want to know that that is going to last. Yeah? And the reality of it is that when the God said is over, you still got to put them in. You still got to look after children. You still got to pay the bills. It's life. Yeah? So God said, little more. God can say little more, but until your will is in it, then nothing should happen like it.
Yeah.
And it was only when I realized that Winston did want me himself, then the God said can come. You understand what I mean? And also that God put me in love with him. I know it's not a funny thing, but when we were out for a meal, I felt like love was pouring in my heart. For him, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. Now, not everyone's testimony would be like that, but when you do your testimony, it'll be different. I'll be going, wow, 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 you know? But this is my testimony, and it's a true story, and he's going to bear me out from his perspective and I was like, but, you know, until your will is in it, then it's a bit like a forced marriage. And I don't believe God will force you to do anything against your will. Even in scripture says you choose this day who you will serve. So you can choose to serve Baal or you can choose to serve me. So we always have choices. And the difference between a godly soul tie and a negative soul tie is
free choice, free will. Yeah? God is never there to try and force you to be or to do anything. There is freedom in joining with someone else as a Christian. Amen. So that's marriage as the example. Friendship I already mentioned. We talked about volitional. This is about choosing who your friends are. You might find though that when you come into Christianity that God will probably refine your relationships, and you may take some people out of your life for a season because they're not good for you, or that season is done for you, and bring other people in. That's up to God. But ultimately, generally speaking, at friendship level, we choose our friends, don't we? Yeah? The people you get on with, and sometimes you don't get on with. Even in your church, you love them. The scripture says, all we need to do is live peaceably. As much as lies in us, we live peaceably with them. We don't have to like them and have them around the house all the time, maybe once a year, but not all the time, yeah? But we don't have the choice to love them. That's a command, yeah? Amen. And then the other joining is a parent and child relationship. And those ties, again, are positional. You know, whoever come out the womb, come out the womb. You understand what I mean? You can't say, adult this one, I'll have that one. You just don't have a choice. So whichever child comes out,
the connection is there. Remember before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So he knew who was going to be in the womb.
He knew who was going to be in the womb. He knew who to join you to. An encouragement to parents. You might be discouraged about your parents. You might think, oh God, this child, this. You know, you might be discouraged. You might think, I don't even know what to do with this child. The child's difficult. Actually, I don't know if I love the child. It's possible. Let's be real. I can put it up and say, oh, we love the children and blah, blah. We might not even like the child. So you are going to have to step into the realm of faith and say, God, you gave me this child. Help me to love the child. And sometimes we have to make a choice. Yeah? Because what love means, write down the word agape. Agape doesn't mean what you desire. It does mean benevolence. And benevolence is about an intention of your will, goodness and kindness. But God's kind of love is not so much about feelings. It's about giving the person who is loved what they need. It's not giving them what they want. Do you understand what I mean? There's a difference. And sometimes we can love based on our feelings and we think that's love. You feel like you love the child today, but tomorrow you're not loving. We choose to love them. Yeah? It's a decision.
It's about giving the person
what they need.
Yeah. Agape love of God is the classic example of that, John 3 verse 16, almost like the golden text of the Bible. Yeah. For God so loved the world. Okay, thank you Lord for loving the world. What did you do about it? That he gave his only son. But we didn't want a son. We wanted you to free us from the Romans. Yeah. That's what we want. We're not just in your son. We want you to free us from the Romans because they caused us to pay too many taxes. So that's what they wanted. But he said, no. I've got an overview of your life because I'm the beginning and I'm the end. So I know what you need. Yeah. And what you need is a saviour. So that even though the Romans are taxing you, I can actually put money in the mouth of a fish, take it out, and help you pay your bills. That's what you need. You need the Son of the Living God. So the love of God is about what we need. And I think it's important in looking at soul ties and the love of God in terms of the connections of godly soul ties. It's really about the love of God underpinning our relationships, yeah? And when there's love underneath the relationships, that is the right foundation for a godly soul tie. So love is a key foundation for any godly soul tie, yeah? Does that make sense? Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Okay, what I want to move on to now is to look at some of the principles or elements, I'll call them, for godly joining of soul ties. And I want to use an ideal marriage as an example. Now, what did we say at the beginning?
There's no condemnation. Because what we don't want to do is say, oh, my marriage is terrible. Or I know someone who's, you know, we all have our stories, yeah? But we all have a story, but we all have a vision of what we'd like to see. And what I'm saying to you tonight by way of encouragement is that God has already put the blueprint in his word as to how things could be and can be. And those of you who aren't married who are here tonight, this is a good time to be here because you get it's almost like you get a heads up.
you get a heads up. You probably had loads of heads up, but this is another heads up, yeah? Another heads up as to what the purpose of godly soul ties is, and using marriage as an example. What I want you to pick up tonight is the five elements of godly soul ties, yeah? Five elements. And they're taken from Genesis 2, verse 20 to 24. I really want to get through this. So Genesis 2, verse 20 to 24, I am going to read it. So Genesis 2, verses... Read it, 20 to 24. Yeah, this is lovely. And he says here, and the man, Adam, gave names to all the cattle and to the birds of the sky and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable. Say suitable.
Suitable.
No one suitable. All those animals. What about the pigs, Adam? What about the donkey? For Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. That's important. So what did God do? God always got a plan. Always have a plan. We're women, and my husband's a man. Always have a plan. God always has a plan. I suppose that's the most important thing to say. God always has a plan. So that's an encouragement, that God always has a plan, even if you ain't got one. The God you serve has one. Yeah? The God you serve has one. So you need to connect up to the connector, the one that you're connected to, and say, Lord, okay, I don't have a plan. Can you give me one? Yeah? So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. Was it a light sleep? No, it was a deep sleep. Yeah? And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man. And brought her to the man. And the man said, oh, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause, say for this cause.
For this cause.
A man shall leave his father and his mother.
Bye, mom. Bye, dad. And be joined to his wife. And the two shall become one flesh.
Beautiful scripture when you really unpack it. Yeah? And the two will become that one flesh. Yeah? And verse 25, I wasn't going to read that, but it's important as well. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. They weren't laughing, going, hey! They were naked, but not ashamed. Nothing to hide. No issues. Yeah? Naked and not ashamed. Let's look at the five elements of godly soul ties, using marriage as an example. Yeah? And there's no condemnation. This is the target. This is the principle. This is a framework that we can use when we're going forward in our lives. Yeah? And even for us married ones, we can always grow and learn and develop. So element one, the first one is suitability or compatibility. Suitability or compatibility. Yeah? So as I said in verse 20, Adam named all the birds of the sky, the cattle, every beast of the field. But for himself, there was not a helper suitable for him. Suitable means corresponding to. Other meanings are the same or nearly the same. I'm nearly the same as Winston, but I've got some other bits. He's got some other bits. So we're nearly the same, but we're different. Yeah? So we correspond to one another. Yeah? And also it means similar in purpose or form. So how you look is similar. Not the same, but similar. It also means shared characteristics as well. Yeah? And in terms of shared characteristics, we can both reason, hopefully. Some people are unreasonable, but generally speaking, we can both reason. Men and women can both reason. Both sexes have emotions, hopefully. Yeah? Both sexes have humour, hopefully. And both of us can cry. I don't mean crying all the time, though. You know, it just gets a little bit annoying. But they can also laugh. Yeah? So we have shared characteristics. So this suitability is important. Also, it also means similar in position or purpose. My first point here is this. God knows who you are suitable for. The question is, in our society, sometimes we will choose with our eyes, or we'll be forced into a relationship, or circumstances. There could be loads of different reasons. This teaching couldn't possibly list all of those reasons, but what it can do is point you to the elements that God has put in place that ideally I want to create for you or join you to someone who is suitable, compatible, corresponding to. They have a similar purpose and form. So when I started my relationship with Winston, it was the beginnings, it was
fledgling. You know, heard the word fledgling? It could easily fall apart.
Don't tell my big toe!
I want my gender! I want my mum, I want my dad. You know, all of the stuff that goes into any relationship, yeah? So there's lots of things you're a little bit of tiptoeing because the joining just starts.
Yeah.
Delicate,
man. My dad said, delicate. That's how my dad said, delicate, Lillian.
It's oh, are they gonna make it?
Yeah.
It's like tightrope,
yes.
You know, walking on one of these, doing the beam,
yeah.
You know, only one way forward, only one way back, nothing at the side, just sharks, you know. So it's a delicate joining. So because this soul tie is so important, and because we want God to get the glory in our lives, the soul tie joining is crucial. Yeah, but we can end up in a situation where there is a soul tie there and it ain't working that well. But what did I say? God has a plan. Yeah, so we are connected to the eternal God. So even if the natural circumstances isn't that great, yeah, we know that when God started this joining process, because this is the initial joining, there's no other joining before now in the scripture that's recorded. It's the first joining, this is the first soul tie. So to find out how it should be, you always go back to the beginning, to the original. So this is like a blueprint. And the blueprint can work for married people, unmarried people, because we can all see it. So wherever you're at, you can go back to the blueprint and say, okay, Lord, help. You know, you can go back to the blueprint and fashion your life and your choices going forward based on that blueprint. So you might find, actually, I'm in a situation where it's not that suitable. This session is not to try and answer all of those. There is married guidance counsel. I wish the pastors were here so I could refer you to them. But I'm just giving you an example. Sometimes you can find yourself in some difficult and tricky situations. But as I said, God has a plan. And there is an intervention and a wisdom to help that particular situation and that delicate circumstance and that delicate relationship where the joining looks like it ain't going to last. You understand what I mean? But I'm saying to you that God sees not just the beginning of your relationship, He even sees the fact that when you fancy someone, at the beginning point, you understand what I mean? Because God sees everything, so we don't have to hide. He sees the very beginning part of your very intentions, your very desires. So He will. So what we want to do, we want to be careful to invite Him in to the joining. Don't join without Him. Don't join without His wisdom. And His wisdom doesn't just come directly from heaven in that sense. It comes through your leaders, through your pastors, good people around you. And a multitude of counsels, there is safety. That's what the scripture says. So those joinings are really important. So it's good to get good teaching, good foundations. Make sure the foundation is love, not lust or this or whatever. You know, we all have our ideals. You know, I had a certain thing. I like intellectual men. Winston happens to be intellectual. Woo! Result! You know, I like that. That was my personal thing. But if I just walked and said, intellectual man, is there an intellectual man? Then I could pick up any intellectual. In fact, there was actually three Winstons before this one. This is really funny. One was a lawyer. Winston's a lawyer, so it's a type of sugar.
Yeah.
So be careful when the enemy will present something that looks like the one. You know what I mean? So you think, oh God, that's got to be the one because I like intellectual man. There he is, intellectual man. Come here, intellectual man. You know what I mean? And you walk by sight.
Yeah.
And what it is with the Lord is that God saw Adam lonely. Or that there was no one compatible. So He needed to come up with a plan and find someone that was suitable. So if God does that at the beginning, what it means is that He knows who is compatible with you. We think we know, and like I said, you know, I knew I wanted an intellectual. There were three that came along all at once. One was a Jehovah's Witness, and he was a thin man, he was a vegan. Oh my goodness, didn't eat anything. You know, but he had an intellectual mind, so there was interest there, but he wasn't even saved as well. He was sort of connected loosely to the Jehovah's Witness. That was that. And then the second one was a fraudster. He was a fraudster, and he got put away for fraud. But he had that intellectual mind. So, you know, they were all fit the criteria. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
They all fit the criteria if I walk by sight.
Yeah?
But what I had to do is say, okay, I didn't do anything anyway, I just sort of let life take its courses, but I could have chosen one of those, I could have done. And it's not to say that God can't work it out, but it's hard working.
Yes.
Because the only problem with managing is the people, isn't it?
They just get, you know.
But generally speaking, God has a plan. So whatever your circumstance, your position, you're coming to these elements are, don't worry about it. Let God do what he's doing. Yeah? Let God do what he's doing. There's no condemnation. We are where we are. But I'm just saying that God sees the whole. He sees the big end from the beginning. Yeah? And if we're talking about marriage and this kind of joining, it's a long-term process. So we need to make sure that we're allowing God to connect us to someone who can grow with us, expand with us, contract with us, be concerned. You understand what I mean? Because you change. You can grow up in marriage, you can grow up in a relationship, you grow up in the church. You need a church that can take you. You understand what I mean? They can take your growth. Yeah. They're not intimidated by the fact that you preach better than the pastor. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter because the pastor's secure. He knows his purpose is to raise you up and to grow you up. So the connections are really important. So the first principle is suitability. Let God be the one that does the suitability test. Because he knew Adam and he thought, you know what, I already know it's Eve, but I can't tell Adam that. Let me just work with him through the process. Okay. Yeah? So he will accept what I'm bringing to him. My point is not necessarily about marriage. It's about God, the joiner. Yeah? My point isn't about marriage, you know. It's about God, the joiner. So when you leave here, don't say, oh, Adam, that's not marriage teaching. Fine. But it's really about God, the joiner.
Yeah.
Because in your life, there's going to be lots of different people to whom you are joined now. Some you want to be joined to.
Yeah.
Others you want them out of your life. But you can't, it's true, that's reality. You want them out of your life. And there will be times when God says, no, for a season you need to stay there. There's some people are going to be sandpaper. There's some people are going to be damaging to you. And that's where it's an ungodly soul tie. And that's what we need to say, goodbye. Cut you up. In Jesus' name. I go my way in my spirit and in my life. And you go your way. Yeah? Especially where the enemy is connected to that time. That's what we don't want. Yeah? So the suitability is the first thing, yeah? The second element of the God, the joiner, is that he did this whole process with great care. God joins with great care. He doesn't just randomly like me, he's not random, it's great care. And it's about knowing the one to whom you want to join and the other one that's going to join. You understand what I mean? God knows all of that. And he took great care. This is interesting in verse 21. The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. Say deep sleep.
Deep sleep.
Interesting. Deep sleep. And then what he did, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. Yeah? So then the man is deep in a deep sleep. So this is not a nap. Yeah? This is not a little nap and the next minute, you know, the baby's awake kind of thing. You know? But what this is, it's basically the first recorded instance of anesthetic. This is the first recorded instance of anesthesia. God put Adam to sleep. And it's the first recorded instance of surgery. Because to take out a rib, it's like opening up the flesh and then having to sew it back again to, you know, and then putting the skin back. That's what the scripture says. He says, he caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. Yeah? Just making sure. Then he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. Put the man back together again. So what can we learn here about God? He took great care in making sure that this joining was going to be done right and done well for the Adam, but also right for the person to whom he was going to join Adam. Yeah? So we can rely on the God that we serve, that he will take great care. We don't know how long this took, he didn't tell us, but we knew he took great care. Yeah? The Science Daily is basically a Science Daily newspaper, an online newspaper. And what they say is that anesthesia drugs really do put us to sleep. New evidence shows that drugs actually turn wakefulness off. Bing! Yeah? It turns wakefulness off and it forces important sleep circuits in the brain on. So that's the process that it goes through when you're under anesthetic. So the anesthetic drug boosts activity in the sleep-promoting brain area. That's a bit of science for you. You can go and do your degree now. You know. So when you sleep, you're basically unconscious or unfeeling of pain. You can't feel pain. And this was a condition that God put Adam in, that he didn't feel any pain. The ideal thing is interesting here. What do I want to say here? Yeah, so God's process for readying Adam for marriage and joining him was precision.
and great care. So the checklist was this. He put him to sleep. The second thing, he checked he was sleeping. The scripture says, and he slept. So you got to check that the person's sleeping, because you can't open up someone's heart. You can't open up someone's heart when they're awake. That would be the end of them. The pain would just mash them up. Then the third thing, he took one of his ribs, and importantly, he used the rib. He didn't just waste it and say, you know. He took the rib, yeah, put that down carefully, because it's an important process this is. And then importantly, he closed up the flesh. So God will finish the work when he's done the joining. So if he's doing something in your life and connecting you to someone, he will take great care. He will take great care of you and of the person to whom you're joined to. We just need to trust God in that. The third element I want to share with you tonight is structure. Structure. And verse 22 says this: the Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. This is interesting. So what we see here is God's doing fashion now. He's into fashion. So what fashion actually means is built. Fashion, to fashion something means to build it. The fashion designers build clothes, they build the wardrobe, they build ideas. And I know I'm a textile designer by trade, and the first thing we had to do when we are doing our design was to get some inspiration. That's the first thing you do. You go and get an idea. You walk around, you look around, you get an idea. And I don't know where God got the idea for the woman. He might have looked at the animals and thought, okay, two legs. Some of them got two legs, some of them got four legs. No, I don't think. Adam's got two legs, so it might make sense for the woman to have two legs as well. You understand what I mean, Rob? So, again, the suitability test, yeah? So the whole process of him fashioning her was like a fashion designer. He's thinking of the ideas and what should I do with the rib and da-da-da. He had the idea of the rib to put Adam to sleep, take the rib out. What should I do with the rib? Ah, I don't want the rib. No, he didn't discard it. He said, I'm going to use the rib. And out of that, I don't know how he did it, he actually built woman. This is powerful. Let me just say this. So God's kind of connection or joining in this case is about a man trying to reconnect to a part of himself that's been taken from him. Yeah? So that connection, reconnecting, is important. But let's quickly look at the ribs. The ribs basically enclose your heart. Yeah? They keep your heart and your lungs safe. Yeah? That's what they do. They cover your heart and your lungs. Your heart is obviously pumps blood around your body, and the scripture tells us that life is in the blood, so you've got to really take care of that area. And then it's also an essential respiration organ. And the lung, sorry, is an essential respiration. It helps you to breathe. And what you'll find is when you're breathing in and out, the ribs are giving you space. Go up and down. If that doesn't happen, you're in trouble. You know, so the reality is that they're both working. And basically what the ribs is doing is forming a core portion of your human skeleton. In fact, this part of you is probably one of the most important parts. Your core is probably the most important part of you. What goes on the inside of your core is crucial to your life. Yeah? You can live without a leg, but if the inside of you is mashed up, there's problems. Yeah? So the core. So you could, in a sense, say that when God joined Adam and Eve, he almost used Eve as part of Adam's structure. So you need to know your purpose in your relationship. What is it within the man or the person to whom God joins you that you bring? I couldn't rest until I knew I had something to offer. So what does this man need? He's not educated, he's got a degree, he's a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. What does he need from me? You know, you've got to know your purpose and how you help to structure and bring back to that man that part of him that is taken from him. And as I say, it's not just about marriage, this is a good symbolism. Yeah, and it's good for marriage. Because out of him, I am me. Yeah? And that's really important, that I am part of his structure. So when I go back to him, I do help to structure him. It's a support role. Remember the scripture talks about that he needs the help meet. So I help to structure him. I'm not the head, but I do help to calm the heart. And I help to calm the lungs. You know what I mean? I help the man to breathe. I help the man to be who he's supposed to be. And that's a covering that is really important, that sometimes in marriages it's missing. We don't know what the purpose of marriage is. We think it's just having someone to, I don't know, just to have a husband.
Yeah.
And that can get boring in human terms, because look at the marriage rate, 1 out of 3. Marriage is ending divorce because it's holy but holy but holy. And this is what, as I'm saying, remember we're pointing to an ideal. Every one of us have flaws, so we're not coming to this without our flaws. As I said, the first 3 years, delicate time, whoa, are we going to make it? Are we not going to make it? And even in year 10, you might be bored by year 10. That's not funny. Year 10? How many more years?
sometimes that's when we start to unpack where we look at God's ideal, but we look at what the reality is and how we can move more toward God's ideal and cut off the things that are stopping us from being a proper joining the ideal, what they call the bona fide article that God intended for our lives. So the rib is helping to structure. I come and bring something back to him that is missing. And any wife that doesn't recognise that she has a role to bring something back to the man that is missing around his heart, and that core part of him has missed the plot, basically. And that's really important, that all of us have something to offer the other person. So the rib is crucial because it's protecting a core aspect of that person. Is this making sense?
Yes.
Amen. Element four, the great joining, and then we're going to move on to element five. So element four is the great joining. This is basically the wedding day. I like this bit. And verse 22, I'm going to read it again, just the second part. He took the rib, which he'd taken from the man, and then... The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he'd taken from the man and brought the woman to the man. The key point here that it needs to be made is let God bring you to the man. Let God join you. Let God be the instigator of the joining. In life, we've made choices. So we may already be where we are. But whilst you're there where you are, remember I said God's got a plan. So we put on God's plan. But if you're not there yet, you can stand and have a look and think, okay, I'm going to let God join me. What it means doesn't mean you have to have a thus saith like me and Winston. That's our testimony. That's not your testimony. You've got your own testimony. Yeah? Accept your testimony. Accept the thing that God's going to do in your heart and your life. But the key thing is that let God in on this. Let God in on your joinings. People who you're already joined to that you don't really want to be joined to, let God in on it. That's the point I'm trying to make. Whoever you're connected to, you're struggling with that connection, let God deal with that connection. Is there something you need to learn? Is there something that other person needs to learn? Is it sandpaper time? You know? Some people in your life will be as sandpaper, and that joining is for a purpose. What sandpaper? What does sandpaper do? Your husband's a plaster. It rubs down, it smooths out, you get rid of the lumps and the bumps, it prepares the walls to be painted. Yeah, for the next stage. So there is a preparation that some of us are going through now and we do not like it. Be still and know that I am God. And there are friendships that you're with. You think, oh, this person is a pain. Be still if you know it's the right friendship and know that God is. If it's a godly soul type, let it do its course. Yeah? And then some things are seasonal. Some friendships are seasonal. Don't try and hold on to a friend that God's moved out of your life. You're moving into the flesh. Sometimes God separates and you think, oh, we're not. You know, but it's for a season, and it's not a bad thing. So let God do the joining. Let God be the master builder, the creator of all the elements of your joining. Amen?
Amen.
The best joiner is God. I'm not kidding you. Joiners are quite an interesting trade, because joiners are the people that joiners do this. Look at this table. Look at the artistry. Joiners do this, don't they? They connect so that I can sit up. Venetia can sit on the table and it doesn't collapse underneath her because it's joined well. So God is the key joiner, yeah? He brings the thing together. He makes it sturdy and he makes it last. But underneath, the scripture says, like the everlasting arms, and the foundation is love. Oh, and you're going to need it, love, trust me. You're going to need it. You're going to need the thing to be held up by the love of God. Yeah? You're going to need the thing to be held up by the love of God. Amen, 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 amen. So I just heard a word. In your patience, possess ye your soul. That's what I heard for somebody. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotion. Some of you are tired. Some, not physically tired, like, oh, I want to go to bed. Some of you are emotionally tired. This is what the Lord is showing you. You're emotionally tired. Sick and tired. Can't take no more. Had enough. Some of you, you want to throw down the rib. You want to say, God, thank you for joining that person, but you know what, this is me, yeah? And it ain't working.
Yeah?
that relationship. Keep that relationship with God, because he's still the joiner. Yes? No matter what happens to that table, God is still the joiner. And the thing about it is that if this thing falls apart, God is the repairer of the breach. Yeah? There's a repairing that can be done. It's difficult. And I'm not one to try and offer marriage counsel from the pulpit. You understand what I mean? I'm not offering that, but I'm giving you the word. In your patience, possess ye your soul. Possessing something means you've got it. So it means that your mind is not over there, so your will is not redirected from who it should be directed to somebody else. Your desire's gone somewhere else. And your emotions are not all over the place. In your patience, possess your soul. You're together. You don't need a man to be together. You don't need a man in this world, I'm saying in this life. You don't need a man to be together. Now, I didn't say I'm anti-men. Don't hear me wrong. I'm speaking to that voice that speaks to you, that tells you you need a man to be together, to be somebody. No. You need God's word over you to be you. No, hold on. You are somebody. If he created Eve and built her, out of her rib, and he put the man to sleep and took great care that the man would sleep before he did that massive surgery and blood pouring out, all kind of things, and he's in charge of your life. Yeah? We need to get back to that point where we keep our eyes on the master builder. And as much as you're frustrated, shout yes, talk, pray. You know what I mean? Have counsel, it's important. All those things are important. Do the thing that you need to make that step forward. You understand what I mean? Sometimes you need to not do nothing, just to be still. And if you say anything, but sometimes you need to be still. But in that being still, you know that he's God.
Amen.
Because life is full of ups and it's full of downs, yeah? But all the thing that is constant is God. And I have to say that is true. People change, people let you down. I let people down. You what? I do. I let people down. I don't mean to, but I've let people down. I've hurt people and I didn't mean to. Sometimes I did. I'm naughty. But that didn't generate you to hurt people. But I'm human. So don't rely on me, but rely on the God that I'm telling you to trust. Paul said, follow me, but only as I follow Christ. Yeah, don't follow me just because I'm Paul. Paul, see first upon us. Follow me, but only as you see me following Christ. The minute I stop following Christ, will you not follow me? Yeah? So this is really important. God is the master joiner. In your patience, be patient. Be patient. Be patient. You need to look up what patience means. I'll give you some words on that. Be patient. Patience is annoying. This reminds me of my doctor's surgery. You know, you go to the doctor's surgery and you got to sit in that waiting room, there's nothing to do! It's so boring! And then the doctor's not coming for you, he's not calling your name, everybody else's name! Mr. John Brown! Mr. Ding Ding! But then you think, for goodness sake! And there's options, you can get out.
Yeah.
You can go and cast the doctor. That's an option.
Yeah.
And you can wait.
Yeah.
And be seen. Mm. You want to be seen when you want to be seen. Oh, yeah. God.
But wait again.
You might be seen when you want to be seen. But you will be seen. In fact, you're probably more likely to be seen by the Lord than you are by the doctor. Because sometimes when the doctor's busy or whatever with emergency, you're in a place and you're not sure. But you will be seen. You will be seen. Can I encourage the women here? Because I did feel that this will really minister to women. I'm not saying it doesn't minister to men, but minister to women. There's a story in the Bible about Esther. And I'm getting a bit dry, sorry. Esther, she married, basically the preparation for Esther was about 1 year. Esther spent 1 year, one whole year, preparing herself for what God will do. And so she was focused. And I would encourage you, be focused. Be focused on what you know you should be doing in your life. What she can do. Esther took 1 year. But I said, be focused in what you should be doing with your life now. I was about to say, get a grip. Sounds so rude. Get a grip. Get a grip. And a grip is something that stops you from skidding and falling over. And these shoes, they got the, that's the grip. I ain't falling over.
unless I pushed myself over. But get a grip, and I don't mean that rudely, but say it with all love. Get a grip. It means get yourself sturdy. And for some of you, that means just being in the Word. I've known marriages that have been saved, and the only way they were saved was by a miracle. And the miracle took place in 10 minutes. Because one of the people who were joined together said, I'm only giving God 10 minutes. And God used the 10 minutes to save a marriage. 10 minutes. That wasn't God's 10 minutes, that was the person who had got 10 minutes. Yeah? Right? 10 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
10 minutes, no more. Not 11. 10 minutes. So I would encourage those of you here. I don't know what your situations are. I don't know the details of your life. Give God the 10 minutes that he needs to do what he wants to do in your life. It might not be 10 physical minutes, but there's a time that you can get to the end of your tether. But my point to you is, give God your time. Give God your focus. Give him your focus, and you'll be surprised at what you want to do. Sometimes in life, you can be chasing something you want to be joined to. And you're using your energy in the wrong place because you should be there. Focus. So that place isn't occupied. And the thing you're chasing is not for you because you should be here.
Yeah.
And life is about processes, a series of processes. Yeah? So don't chase the godly joinings that aren't for you now. Does that make sense? Or any joining isn't for you now because you can end up in the flesh. Be where you're supposed to be. I'll open my heart to you. Ministry is not my desire in and of myself. But when I met Winston, God was very clear about what we were to do. It took me ages to get here. And I had to do it afraid. Do you understand me? I'm not afraid anymore, because you're not nuts. But generally speaking, there's some things in your life you're going to do afraid. You have to learn to do afraid. You have to trust that God is with you. Because we're Christians. We walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah? And trust God with your joinings. But that scripture, in your patience, possess ye your soul, is something for some of you tonight. The last thing I'm going to say is a final element, element 5, acceptance. When Eve was brought to Adam, Adam did 2 things to this joining. And it's very powerful and important principle for the godly soul tie. He said these words, this is. You know what that word this means? It's very specific. Actually, I don't know what this means, but anyway, you know what it means. I did write it down, but it's somewhere else. This is, what he was basically saying is that I recognize this person you bring to me. I recognize her, not in the sense of, oh, I recognize and see, but I recognize her inwardly. You understand what I mean? It was an acceptance recognition. And when God joins you, even if it feels like it doesn't, we're not working at first, it's important that you're recognized, you're accepted. And each of us, whether we're married, single, whatever our situation is, we need to recognize that we are recognized. Yeah? We can say, this is, you are, and you are, and you are, and you are, and you are. Yeah? Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. In other words, this is part of my substance. This is part of me. But the ultimate thing we want is that God brings us to the right part of us, joins us to the right connection in our lives. We need to follow those elements. His suitability, his great care, yeah, his structure, and his joining, and his acceptance, and all of these brought together will make a fantastic relational soul tie that can never be broken, because it's based on the principle of God's kind of joining. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just stand to our feet. Just raise our hands. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Just say, Lord, I receive your word.
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 Lord, I embrace your word.
Lord, I embrace your word.